In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to another episode of the Harmony Goal Podcast. Once again, our total purpose is to shine the spotlight on individuals and organizations that are doing unselfish work in the community to make it a better place and more harmonious place and better place to live. And Lord knows today we need that sort of guidance to have a more harmonious life. And today our guest is Ethan Hemming, and Ethan is here to talk about Warren Village, which is here in Denver, Colorado. And we'll tell you all about that because our full focus today is on Warren Village and what they're doing for our community. So, Ethan, thank you so much for being here. Truly appreciate you taking the time out of your unbelievably busy day and to be here to share with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to this point at Warren Village.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, thank you, Tom. I'm excited to be a part of your outreach effort, fully support your goal and what you're doing in our community. And just thank you. So I've been at Warren Village. This is my eighth year. And I actually came to the nonprofit world, I suppose everybody does, through different paths, right? About the first 20 years of my career was in public education, in K-12, working with Denver Public Schools, working with charter schools across the state. The focus for me was always, how do we better serve at-risk students? How do we provide better choices for kiddos? How do we provide better differentiation and supports? And so the theme really was at-risk kiddos and outcomes. And when I decided to leave that work, I really just took a pause and thought about what I want out of the next half of my career, right, as a working individual in Denver. And honestly, serendipity, divine intervention, whatever you want to call it, this job as the CEO came up, and I went after it. And I didn't always know exactly what was the driving purpose there, right? I was exploring it as well. And by the end of that process, and I was selected, it was very clear to me this was the next step for me. And the number one reason really is education is here, right? Families are here and opportunity is here. And those to me, I think, are transformative elements, necessary elements for change. And I want to be a part of change. I want to be a part of making the community better than it might be without a model like this, without the staff residents we have. So that's really what led me to the work. And I feel like every day I'm learning something different. And we all have good days and we have bad days, right? But I always know at the end of the day, we've done something good for families here at Warren Village. And that has sustained me for almost 8 years here.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. Now we piqued the interest of our listeners to say, Warren Village, Warren Village, Warren Village. What is Warren Village? Tell us a little bit about what Warren Village is and why it's even here.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, the why really is going back 50 or 60 years, right, to a group of residents, community members here in Central Denver who were realizing that single parents, largely moms, sometimes dads, but single parents were uniquely disadvantaged, uniquely challenged, faced obstacles in society, and they wanted to create a program to serve them. And they started planning and came up with an amazing plan to open our organization, which almost 50 years ago in 1974, to create housing, to create educational supports for parents, and then early learning and care for the little ones. And it was a holistic vision, right? And they didn't know it then. It's two generation services, what we call it now. Back then, it was like holistic. Let's put all this together. They did that. And here we are 50 years later, still providing services, growing our impact, growing our model, adjusting, of course, improving as we go. But if you go back to the beginning, the singular mission is still there. Personal and economic self-sufficiency for single parents in a holistic two-gen environment. That's really what we're about, is opportunity. Everybody wants opportunity. Everybody deserves opportunity. Now, in our society, not everybody's gotten the same opportunity, as we know. So we're just trying to level the field, provide guidance, provide supports and resources.
That's beautiful. You know, like, unlike a lot of other helping organizations, you threw in there this magic word called housing.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that makes Warren Village so unique. It's not just helping people lift themselves back up into a world of dignity.
Yes.
But you now are also providing a roof and walls around that for people. So if you're providing housing and all this wonderful opportunities for people, how do they find you?
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting because they come from all walks or all areas of the city, right? Mm-hmm. They will be referred to us by the United Way, right? The 211 through Denver Human Services, through the Gathering Place, through the Dolores Project, partners. There's people that literally see us driving by. There's people that get referred by family or friends. You name it. I think because we've been out there 50 years, we have a lot of partnerships. We get folks from all over the place. We really do. And that can be a really neat thing because it can be a bit of a melting pot over there with folks from all over the community and different circumstances, but they're unified, right? They want to be here. They all have little kiddos. Most of our parents have kids that are 5 years old or less. So little kids. And so that's, you know, there's your profile. That's our niche, so to speak. But they do come from all over the city, all over the metro area, really.
Oh, that's beautiful. And are there any specific qualifications versus just somebody showing up at your front door and saying, I need a place to sleep?
Yeah, it really is not an emergency environment because we do have an application process for the federal government. Because the federal government reimburses our costs for the actual building itself. So mm-hmm. you have a HUD process. It takes a little bit of time. Then you just go through a program application and interview to make sure that you really kind of know what you're getting into. Because it's not just a place to stay. You really do have to do program while you're here. You have to be interested in getting supportive services, mental health, financial education. All those things are required elements of the program. So you want to make sure you know what you're getting into. And that can take, you know, 4 to 6 weeks to get through the process. And then based on the apartment you're interested in, a one bedroom apartment, the wait list isn't typically that long. A three bedroom apartment, which we have a few of, can take forever to get into. So mm-hmm. you have to kind of be ready and have some stability in your life before you're ready to take advantage of the program.
Is there a time limit where people can be living there, or is it just open ended? How do that?
Yeah, there is a time limit. We try to be flexible though with people's needs. Most people stay about 2.5 years, that they find that to generally be what they need. But some folks have been here 4 years. You could stay up to 4 years without any problem. You just have to every year indicate that you want to stay here and keep working on it could be your education. It could be job skills. It could be, you know, whatever, accumulating some money for a down payment on a house, whatever that is, we'll work with you. But 4 years is the max.
Oh, that's great. Do the people coming in there, to live in your environment, do they have any kind of special responsibilities in the building, or oh, they do? Okay, what specifically do they what would you expect from somebody, because you're helping them become more self-sufficient to begin with?
Yeah.
So what sort of things might they be responsible for?
Really, number one is identifying what do they want out of their time. What are their goals? And those goals typically fall into mental health goals, financial goals, educational goals, or work goals. Mm-hmm. So they have to be willing to identify goals. And then they have to be willing to work with a case manager on a monthly or more frequent basis towards those goals. They have to volunteer once a month for 2 hours, not a lot, but they have to do volunteerism to give back. And that can be any different. You know, they could be volunteering here. They could go to the Gathering Place to volunteer. We just like the idea of volunteerism because they have skills to give back. They have a lot, and it builds up your confidence. Like, yeah, people need me, right? I can do things. There's all the basic rules of the house, right? Of the building, you know, safety and security. We're flame free. We're drug free, right? All those things you have to abide by, you know, stuff like that. But the most important thing is, what's your educational plan or what's your work plan, right? And stick with that plan. If you need to change it, great. But talk to us about it and we'll work with you. So it can be a pretty intense program, and depending on what you want out of it.
That's beautiful. So when you talk about you're helping them reach those specific unique and personal goals, how do you go about doing that? I mean, what sort of things do you do that? Because if I've got a goal that is X, how do you help me get to X?
Yeah, well, there's a million different goals, but we use a framework called mobility mentoring, which is a research-based framework from back east with a group called Empath, mobility mentoring, bridge to self-sufficiency, are words you may have heard, but it's a motivational interviewing tool, and then it's a goal-setting tool, and you really, the social workers are all trained in it, and I'm giving you the very high level, right? I am not a practitioner in it. You could spend hours talking with our social work team. It's a very strong, reliable tool, but it all goes back to relationship, right? Because you got to form relationship with your counselor and relationship with the client, and then you build trust, and then you articulate your plans, and it builds a framework for helping them figure out what they are. Because if your plan is to get a four-year degree and whatever, okay, let's figure that out. We don't have a lot of people that are necessarily doing that, but if you want to, we'll help you figure it out. If your plan is to save $15,000 over 4 years to for a down payment, you know, I'm just making this stuff up. Well, how are we gonna do that? And then you build backwards from that.
Wow. Wow.
That's a lot. It's a big program for folks to take on. So it's a lot of work.
It's enormous. It's almost like you hand somebody an empty menu and say, fill it in.
Yeah. What do you want to do? And that's the hard part, because sometimes they want to do something that, you know, it may not be what you see as the outsider to say that's what you want to do, but that's their goal. Well, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it conforms to our goals, which is make progress towards a degree or a certificate or save money, because you got to leave us with something that differentiates you from time one, right? You got to be, you're going to be much better mental health wise. You're going to have a lot more knowledge, but what are you going to attain that takes with you, you take with yourself when you go on?
Do you have volunteers that help you put these programs together? I mean, people with unique expertise that can help?
Yeah. The easiest one to point to is the banks. We have so many banks who support us financially, but they also do training and counseling on financial education, credit score-based counseling, all that stuff. We have interns from social work schools who are technically volunteers. They help a lot. We have, folks who want to volunteer at night and do childcare, right, when the early learning centers close. A lot of corporate groups these days want to come in and do grounds projects. So we do grounds projects and painting or trash removal or whatever it is. People that want to get involved, we can get them that way. But I will tell you, before COVID hit, we had 1,000 volunteers a year. Now, I think this most recent year, we maybe had 200, 250. Plummeted. It's just plummeted. And we're not exactly sure why. Part of it is people don't drive as much. People are in the virtual world, it seems like. They don't want to come downtown sometimes, right? So we're trying to figure out how do we build back a volunteer base. And right now, corporations are our biggest ally in that work.
That's beautiful. You know, I think that's one of my biggest complaints about the school system that we have throughout the country is we are required to memorize dates of history, but we're not taught anything about finances. And yet you get people out there and all of a sudden they've got a family and they're sitting there going, but I don't have enough money to buy groceries.
Yep. The basics.
Absolutely.
Totally agree with you.
So, and I know you say you have people there maybe for 2, 3 years, 4 years, whatever. Do you ever hear back from your alumni? I mean, the people who have been there, lived there, have met some of their goals. What do you hear from those folks?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting tapestry, right? So on the one end, we have 1, 2, 3 staff who are former residents. So we have hired alumni to work on our team. We have, I think, 2 or 3 alumni on our board of trustees.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome. But okay, so in terms of just the larger numbers, we do a survey every spring of about 500 alumni, you know, and then we hear from, you know, maybe 40% of them. So we have a whole data set on how they're doing. Most of them do very well with, you know, their kids staying on track in education. A lot of them, if they pursued a college degree, they're going to finish that degree. So you see that kind of stuff. Housing stability is pretty good. I think where we see the challenges is the income. With a lot of them that report their income, it doesn't keep up with the demands in Denver, because rent in Denver, groceries in Denver are so disconnected from anything, right? It's the hard part for them. And so we're trying to always find ways to support our alumni with their challenges.
Well, I love the idea you bring the alumni in to participate, because They've been there. They know what it's like to be at their front door. They know what it's like to fill out the forms. They know what it's like to grow in the organization. That's beautiful, because that's firsthand experience that you can't just buy somewhere.
No, exactly right. It's lived experience. It's authentic. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And what about, I know most of the problems that people with small children, especially if they're relatively dependent on help, have the small children, how do you deal with if they're going to go out to work or they're going to be in some training of some kind? How do you deal with the children that are there?
Yeah, most of them we can serve. We have an early learning center, which basically is a center that takes care of kids from 6 weeks old to 5 years old, state licensed facility. So we can serve 100 kids across the street. For those that can't get in because of wait list or because of any other factors, we try to find other centers for them to go to. And that usually works out. It's definitely hard for certain ages to find care in Denver, in central Denver, because there's a real teacher shortage for early learning teachers. And you've probably, I'm sure, heard that from other folks you've talked with. So that can be a bit of a challenge.
Wow. So in other words, if somebody needs to go off to work and they've got a small child, then all of a sudden you're helping them take care of getting the kids to school and making sure they're protected and all that sort of thing. Do you have any kind of programs in-house, you know, for the children besides helping them get to their schools and that sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, the learning center, we actually operate that on site here. It's the first floor.
Oh, okay.
So that's where most of them go. I'm just saying, whenever we have demand that exceeds capacity, we will find other places for them to go. Now, and that's for kids below five. Then the elementary and middle school age kids will go to Dormore, which is a few blocks away, or Maury Middle School. And we have relationships and transportation that we can provide to both those schools.
I can't imagine what a wonderful relief that is for a parent. Biggest fear of all, if somebody's got a dependent child, you know, to go, what do I do with my babies during the day? Yeah. You know, and
am I going to deal with this? And I'm on my own, and I need to make money. You know, it's brutal. So I think it is all inclusive, kind of supportive environment for sure.
Oh man, that's beautiful. That's absolutely incredible that you're able to do that for them.
Yeah,
it's great. What do you see? I'm to me, this is such an incredible program. I mean, it's just, and it's been around for, you say, 50 years now.
50 years next year, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you having a big celebration for that?
Many, many celebrations.
Many celebrations. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Love it, because that's something to celebrate. I mean, fact that you have this business model that is totally focused on helping people become more, like I say, get that sense of dignity back again.
Self-sufficiency, strength, empowerment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful. What do you see as the future? We can look back at 50 years of growth from whatever it started as, large or small.
Yeah.
The successes you're experiencing today and the learning curves, where do you see it going from here?
Yeah, I mean, our explicit growth strategy centers on the opening and creation of a new campus that will add to our housing offerings, our training offerings. So we are probably 14 months away from a new campus opening in Southwest Denver. So that'll bring 89 new affordable units online, an equally sized learning center, bigger and better program training space. So that's we've been working on that for 3-4 years now. So it's a long goal, but we're getting closer to it. We acquired land, we acquired some federal money for it. So that is going to happen. And that's going to be very exciting for us, because it's just going to open up more, you know, more units, more places for people to live.
Wow. Is this going to be, do you have a place where there's like transportation for people and that sort of thing? Or
yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. It's not great. It's at Alameda and I-25. So you do have access to light rail. It's not perfect. Mm-hmm. You have access to bus lines from Alameda to Broadway for people to get downtown. So no, it's okay. But you know, it's Denver. Denver is not a very transportation friendly town. Mm-hmm. And so you're dependent on cars, and that can be a challenge. So, and it's also, we didn't pick the site, right? We went with where the land was available to us, and basically are, you know, making those challenges work.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. That's wonderful. So you said 89 more units?
89 affordable units. So mainly 2 and 3 bedrooms, some 1 bedrooms, an early learning center on site, as well as program and training space, community space too.
What's the typical age of somebody that comes in there? You're saying they have typically they have small children. What is the
average age is about 24 to 26 in that range.
So you're really
young parents.
You really do have an opportunity to mold that person into some new ways of thinking, that sort of thing.
Yeah, expose them to do different opportunities, different education. You know, that's the whole goal, is to empower them more so than they have been.
Wow. This is exciting.
Yeah, it's cool.
This is quite exciting to see that you've got something that, once again, I think that the toughest thing for somebody who is dependent, they're trying to figure out where they can get food.
Yep.
Or where they could get a shelter for a short period of time.
Medicine, doctor care. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, this is fabulous. And you, what about, that's something I was curious about, is there doctor care? What do you do in that area?
Most of the folks, based on their income, will qualify for Medicaid for a time. So we connect them with providers who will accept Medicaid as a reimbursement. Then we also, for a time, had physicians coming in once a week to do Healthy Child. Now, that was a victim of COVID. That has not come back. So we are looking at other options with Children's Hospital and other ways to bring in nurse practitioners to provide the same Healthy Child kind of stuff on site.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, it's cool.
You pretty much thought of everything.
Yeah, you have 50 years to figure it out, right?
Yeah, roof over the head, education, child. I'm not necessarily child care, but definitely child. No worries there. The fewer worries.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's comprehensive. It's really wraparound for sure.
Don't you wish you could just take a pen and multiply that by 1,000 and just be able to help so many other people?
I know, and that's, you know, we'll get past our new campus in a year, and then we'll think about what the needs are out there, and if there's a need for a Warren Village 4. Then we'll do it, right? You got to figure out how to keep up with the demand and the need in society, and then find land, right?
Right.
And find a way to build it, because it's expensive. It's a complicated project.
Speaking of expensive, how do you fund this? I mean, I'm sure you don't just have people dropping off checks at your front door every week.
No, we really had to grow our fundraising effort, but we're also fortunate that we do receive, like I said before, federal money for the building here. We get state money to help operate the Learning Center, Colorado Child Care Assistance. Basically, it's a tuition subsidy, a tuition reimbursement for the Learning Center. So you get that coming in, other governmental sources. But about half of what we spend, we have to fundraise from individuals, right? From corporations and foundations, community foundations or private foundations in Denver. So that's what funds us right now. And then as we move to open the third campus, there will be revenue streams from the government to help operate that building, but mm-hmm. we'll also be fundraising to support it, because it's a complicated, it's an expensive model, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is. You have to have a lot of people on staff to support families who are trying to make dramatic change.
Oh, and if our listeners were to want to either volunteer to maybe some of their educational skills, that sort of thing, or money, or what would be the best way for our listeners to be able to make sure that this is an ongoing success? I mean, what's your fondest wish from them if they could do something magical for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think my wish is that they recognize that they have power and agency and they can help a community-based organization, right? That's mm-hmm. and that they would get to know us mm-hmm. and learn about us. That's number one. And then I think if someone learns about us and they see an alignment of interest, then that they get on our website and click that donate button for financial donations, which always helps, as well as the volunteer button, so they can come in and figure out what we have available for volunteer opportunities. Because we are really trying to get more people to come back and volunteer after this, after the pandemic. So mm-hmm. those would be the two big ones, honestly. And our website has so much information on it, stories, videos. We are very fortunate in the last year getting a lot of good publicity in the media. There's lots of stories out there they can learn more from.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so you say you have a website. Gee, is there a name for your website?
It is warrenvillage.org.
And that's warrenvillage.org.
Yes,
that's right.
We love it.
So if they go to that location, they can volunteer to help out. Right. So for those people sitting home wondering, what can I do? What can one person do? One person can change many lives by just being there, either with their financial help or with coming down there and take their expertise, whether it be, like you say, the banks are helping with financial ideas, but interpersonal communications, anything to help people with their job skills, that sort of thing.
Any of that. I think people just need to realize we're a community-based organization and they are community. So that's invite them to come down.
That'd be great.
I would love that. It's a great opportunity. And people generally walk away feeling so good, connected. And, you know, people are looking to be, even, you know, you got your job and your kids and all that, and then you're looking for something to feel like you're part of something bigger, change-oriented. This is the place to come.
Wow. That's fabulous. Well, you are changing lives in so many different ways, and it's such an unselfish way. I mean, it's just not like you're doing it for the glory by any means.
Yeah.
You're watching people who are moving on from there to their own personal life. And once again, my favorite word for that is you're giving people back their dignity. And giving them that self-sufficiency and that ability to have a different relationship with their children because they have time for it now.
Yeah, so absolutely. I think that's exactly right.
Oh, I applaud you so much for what you're doing there. That's beautiful. What a beautiful
effort. It's a team effort, community effort.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Well, I can't begin to thank you enough for sharing your ideas and what you're doing already, and that you're taking this 50 years of learning and taking it into the future to help people on a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment basis in their lives and taking the worry and the fear away. And giving them a chance to have a good, full life. That's beautiful.
That's awesome. It's great work. And I'm lucky to be here and I'm happy to be here. And it's always good to talk with folks and share our story. So we're grateful to you, Tom, for letting us be on your show.
Well, very good. It's my pleasure. I promise you. Well, Ethan Hemming, I can't begin to tell you how much we appreciate you being here and all the work you're doing. And bless you guys for changing lives.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. And for the rest of you, be sure to tune in again next week for another episode of the Harmony Goal podcast. And you will hear more wonderful stories like we hear from Warren Village about the work they're doing in the community to be unselfishly helping other people have a better life and make this a more harmonious world. And if you'd like to, you can go to our website, which is The Harmony Goal as in goalpost, theharmonygoal.com, and let us know what you think about what we're doing, any ideas, thoughts, suggestions, or whatever. And if you would like to subscribe to our podcast, that would be great, easy place to do that. And also, if you'd like to keep us on the air, you could also donate to us to keep us on the air. That would be wonderful. But definitely the most important thing right now is to donate to Warren Village at warrenvillage.org. Go out there and look at their opportunities for helping make other people's lives a more wonderful place to be. Take care and we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.